All right, if you have your Bible, please turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20 and verses 18 to 21. That would be our main text today. Exodus chapter 20. So I hope you brought your Bible, because we use the Bible today. And we always use the Bible every single Sunday. So Exodus chapter 20, starting with verse 18 to 21. Let me just read for you the text so that we have the text in our mind. Now when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off and said to Moses, "You speak to us. We will listen, but do not let God speak for us, lest we die." Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." The people stood far off while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. This is the word of the Lord. You know, for the past few months, we have been looking at a few of the disciplines or a few of the activities that great men and women of God have engaged in since time passed all the way up to now. And great men and great women of God are still doing that currently. And if you and I want to be great for God, you and I will also engage in these activities that we have been looking for the past few weeks. These sensational saints wanted a meaningful life with God. They wanted to come face to face with their Savior. They wanted to come face to face with their Creator. And because of that, they engage in these so-called discipline. For there is no greater joy than meeting with our Savior. No greater joy. And to do this, they search the Scripture. They read the pages and search the Scripture, and they come up with at least several activities, several disciplines, if you will, that must be cultivated and disciplined in our life in order for us to have a rich, meaningful, well-balanced life with God. I don't know about you, but for me, I want to meet God. I want to meet my Savior. I want to have a face-to-face encounter with Him as much as I can. And all relationship, no matter it's our earthly relationship with each other, our relationship with our pet, you know, Charlie and Barkley and whatever, and Hodo, no matter what relationship we have, our relationship with God, it requires intentional, meaningful interactions with the one whom we profess to love. And without these intentional interactions, we become distant. Sometimes we become destitute in our relationship. But please, please, let me note that this distance, this destitution in our relationship is always, always a slow, gradual departure. Is a slow, gradual movement away from the one whom we profess to love. It is never a big blowout. It's never a big, bam, all of a sudden, you know, what happened? No, it is always a slow, gradual movement away from the one whom we love. And if we're not careful, next thing you know, as we look around, we're distant from the one whom we profess to love. And if we're not careful, we dissolved into a meaningless relationship. It's gradual, isn't it? So we must never take our relationship for granted, our relationship with each other, but most important, we never ever should take our relationship with God for granted, because all relationship, no matter what kind of relationship they are, requires intentional, meaningful interactions. That's plural, by the way, interactions, not interaction. Think about it. Remember you ever go to the beach, you know, Galveston Beach or whatever beach you want to go to? You come along to the beach, you and your significant others, you and the one whom you love. You walk along, prowl along the beach. You stake out a perfect spot by which you want to lay, recline, rest, and enjoy the day with your significant others. You saw it. You stake it out. You put the towels on it. And then you walk, you try to cool off, so you walk into the ocean. You walk away from your spouse, just a little small step, walk into the ocean, cool down, and all of a sudden, you start feeling the gradual, constant push of the tide. Push you and push you. Now, in your mind, you feel like you're standing still, right? You're resisting the tide. You're standing still. But this gradual push, keep on pushing you. And you resist the push. And you're cooling down. You resist the push. But the tide keep on coming, pushing and pushing and pushing. You feel like you haven't moved. You feel like you're standing right where you're still standing. But as you keep on pushing, and you turn around and you look at the shore, next thing you realize is that you are really far away from where you started. You know what I'm talking about? You've been there, right? It is a gradual push. That's exactly what relationship is about. It's a gradual push and push and push. To next thing you know, you turn around, you looked, and, well, there's my significant other all the way over there. I didn't realize how far I have traveled. There's a great distance between the one whom you profess to love and where you are. Because if we're not careful and we don't constantly examine our life, that gradual push will send us way off course. Our relationship with God is in the same fashion, in the exact same fashion. Everything in this world gradually pushes us away from this wonderful, intimate relationship with God. It's push and push. We feel like we're standing still. We feel like we're standing on the ground. We feel like we still have the intimate relationship with God. There's a push. There's a push. And if we're not purposefully and intentionally checking our bearing every single day, a little push, a little push. Next thing you know, we become distant and destitute in our relationship with God. And I have seen this. I have seen this. Have you not? You turn around like, man, where have I been? If you look at someone whom you have at one point in time professed your love in God, years later you look at them and they're destitute. They're long gone. They don't have that passion that they once had. Why? It's a little push. A little push. Now when I come to the scripture and when I come and look at history, I find that there are at least three fundamental discipline that all godly people who wants to have that deep, passionate, intimate relationship with God must always constantly engage themselves in. The great saints, the men and women of God, that is, you know, us, right? We're saints. We're given revelation through the sacred text. Three fundamental discipline, three fundamental elements, if you will, to harness a rich and vibrant relationship with God. If we are being given this revelation on how we can come face to face with our Savior, how we can get to know Him, to love Him, to be with Him, and to enjoy Him forever. What are the three fundamental elements, the three fundamental relationship that stands against the gradual push of the tide? Let me give you one here. The first one is worship, right? In worship, we give to God. In worship, we give to God. See, that's the first discipline, is worship. And worship is us giving to God something. Now, we're ready to talk about this. If you want to refresh yourself on how to worship God, you can log into our YouTube channel. For those who want to know, it is a Forgiven Life Community Church in our YouTube channel. And there you can see a series titled Glory to God, Proclaiming God's Goodness. There it tells us how to worship God. The Bible is very clear on how we should do that. We don't have to guess. But there's a second discipline that we must engage in order for us to have this vibrant relationship with God, is prayer. In prayer, we receive from God. So worship, we give to God. Prayer, we receive from God. And this is a second discipline. Prayer is asking from God and then receiving from God. And if you want to refresh yourself on the prayer, you can go back to the YouTube channel, Forgiven Life Community Church, and you can listen on the series called Prayer, Walking with God. But there's a third discipline that all saints must engage in. That's you and me. That is meditation. For in meditation, we listen to God. That makes sense? Worship, we give to God. Prayer, we receive from God. In meditation, we pause and listen to God. This is the third discipline that all of us must engage in. Meditation. You see the little chart right there? It's giving, receiving, listening, giving, receiving, listening. This is an ultimate encounter with the Lord Himself. And we have been looking at meditation for the past 3 weeks now. And meditation is just that. It's a contemplation on God's Word, where we reflect on God's Word, where we then personalize it and internalize God's Word in our very own life. That's what makes meditation so special. It makes it personal. We take God's Word and apply it to us. Meditation is about me. It is about me. It's not about you. It is about me. When I come to the Scripture, I internalize it. I personalize it. I read it. I imagine that's me. Not imagine that's you. That's me. When I read about the prodigal son, that's me if I'm not careful. When I read about the parables, that's me. I need to be careful. When I read about abiding in Christ and loving Christ, that's me. I must continue to love Christ. You see, meditation is applying God's Word into our very life and living that life out. It is Thomas Merton who note that meditation has no point and no reality unless it is firmly rooted in life. Meditation is meaningless unless you start looking at yourself. The Bible is the written Word of God that can change lives. The Word of God has to be applied into our life in order for our life to be changed. And that's why meditation, when it is looked at us completely, affects change. Meditation is none other than listening to God, listening to His Word. Richard Foster says this: meditation is the one thing that can sufficiently redirect our lives so that we can deal with human life successfully. I love that. Foster, meditation is the one thing that can sufficiently redirect our lives so that we can deal with human life successfully. You struggle with life? Work on your meditation. You're struggling with your character? You don't have the fruit of the Spirit? Work on the meditation. In order for us to redirect our lives, we must first listen. Listen is a hard discipline to master. You know why? Because we like to talk. We like to talk. We meet together, people, we want to talk about ourselves. We meet together, we just want to talk about ourselves. The other people talk a little bit, you want to interrupt and talk about ourselves because we like ourselves, you know? But the one who talks about themselves the most and don't spend much time listening, you can never, ever get that deep relationship. I tell men, young men, single men, when they go out with women, you invite women, you have coffee the first time, go on a date, for those who are single in here, William, right, when you go out with a woman, when you date with women, this is what all you have to do to make her like you. Don't talk about yourself, listen to her. Isn't that right? Ask questions, listen to her, know what she's about, because in there you find out more about her, and you can have a better relationship. If you talk too much about yourself, that's a turnoff, isn't it? I don't know, girls. Do you guys agree? It's a turnoff. Same thing with God. It's good to talk to God. It's good to worship God, giving to God. It's good to ask from God, receiving God through prayer. But at the same time, there's another important element. You got to listen. My wife, a long time ago, I did a message, a sermon series, and I was pondering on the text, what is the greatest need of mankind? And I looked online, I looked at people, what is the greatest need of mankind? Salvation, learning. And I came to my wife and I asked my wife, what's the greatest need for mankind? What do you think? And she said something that I was like, pff. She said, people want to be heard. And honestly, I kind of tossed her off. People want to be heard. But actually, as I walked along this Christian journey and I'm talking and interacting with people, what she says is correct. People just want to be heard. Matter of fact, you can diffuse a lot of problems by just listening to what people complain about. And they feel so much better after they talk about it. People just want to be heard. People want to you to listen to them, because therein builds relationship. Listen to the living voice of God through the pages of his revealed revelation, and then think about what he said. Desiring to live that living voice in our life is meditation. Frederick Faber expresses in his poetry the cry of the heart of those who love God. I just love this. Faber wrote this: only to sit and think of God, oh, what joy it is. To think the thought, to breathe the name, earth has no higher bliss. And I say amen to that. If anything that's worth its salt, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes energy to invest in that relationship. But knowing that meditation, living this word of God, we can encounter God by meditating on God's word, by listening to God, that we can encounter God face to face, and we can hear his voice. I kind of wonder, why don't we do it often enough? I mean, in the Bible, God speaks. And in the Bible, God constantly speaks. And I believe God still speaks today. I mean, look at Elijah. He spent many days and many nights in solitude and silent, cultivating this technique, being alone with God in the wilderness, listening and learning and discerning the still small voice of God. 1 Kings chapter 19 states that. Isaiah, he came and he saw the Lord high and lifted up. And then he heard the voice of God speaking to him and saying, whom shall I send? Who would go for me? Isaiah chapter 16, he said, send me, Lord. I mean, you see, God is speaking and is always speaking. And God speaks to these men, not because they are special. God speaks to these men in the scripture, not because they have some kind of special ability. You know why God speaks to these men? God speaks to them because they listen. They're willing to listen. Like Samuel of old. God said, Samuel, he said, yes. He came to Eli and said, did you call me? He's willing to listen. 3 times until Eli said, next time you hear the voice said, here I am, Lord, speak. Your servant is listening. God speaks because his people listens. You wonder why God doesn't speak to you? The question is, are you listening? Are you listening? Are you meditating? Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 30, that I can do nothing on my own as I hear. That is, as Jesus hears the Father's voice, I judge. In other words, the Father is constantly speaking, and the Son is constantly listening, and he acts upon what the Father says. Brother and sister, God is speaking. God is always speaking. Mostly in today's time, God speaks through his written word, the Bible. And for those who want to hear God's voice, you and I can. How? Through meditating. Through listening silences, as one author calls it. But knowing God and knowing that God wants to speak to us, if only we listened, the question is, why don't we listen more? You ever ask that question? Why don't I listen? Why aren't people listening more? Well, let me give you some reason why most of us, or most people, do not listen to God's voice. It's found in Exodus chapter 20. See, and I'll give you, three reasons here. Let's give three reasons. In Exodus chapter 20, you see, in Exodus chapter 19 and 20, God descends upon the mountain Sinai. See, because God just delivered Israel from bondage under the cruel hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And as Israel was standing on the foot of the mountain, Mount Sinai, God forms a new nation, a holy nation. In Exodus chapter 19, it said, a kingdom of priests. God wants this nation, this new nation, this holy nation, to be his priest, where he communes with this nation, for this nation, Israel, to represent God to man and man to God. That's what God wanted. So God descended upon Mount Sinai to talk with his people, a kingdom of priests. And as God descended, smoke and fire, thunder and lightning appeared. The earth quaked, the mountain trembles and rumbles. Verse 18 of chapter 19, it states that God descend upon the mountain. It moves. The sound of thunder. And through the sound of thunder, God spoke to the children of Israel. I don't know about you, but if I was there, I would have been ecstatic. I would be privileged to hear God's voice. I'm sure I would be terrified. I'm sure I would be fearful, but at the same time mixed with certain elation and delight, because I want to hear God's voice. I want to listen to what he has to say, but not so with the children of Israel. They did not want to listen to God in Exodus chapter 20. Why? Why? Let me give you three reasons why. Number one, the people wanted a mediator. They didn't want to listen to God themselves. They wanted a mediator. You see that verse 18 and 19? When all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off and said to Moses, "You speak to us, and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die." Israel did not want to listen to God themselves. They wanted someone else to listen to God and speak to them. In other words, they want to hear God's word second-handed. I don't know why, but that is true even today. We don't want to encounter God. We don't want to listen to God. We want someone else to speak to God, someone else to mediate on our behalf, and then we'll listen to that individual. Foster note that human beings seem to have a perpetual tendency to have somebody else talk to God for them. We are content to have the message second-handed. And this is not only true at this point in time. Later on, a few centuries later, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, the Israel still don't want to listen to God. They demanded to have an earthly king, a human king. They rejected God to be their king. They want a human king who can talk to them. And in 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 17, you can hear the heart of God breaking as God told Samuel, "They have not rejected you. They have rejected me as their king. Go ahead and listen to them." Wow. Amazing, isn't it? Unreal. But is it really unreal? One author penned this: "The history of religion is the story of an almost desperate scramble to have a king, a mediator, a priest, a pastor, a go-between. In this way, we do not need to go to God ourselves." That is the history of human being. We want someone to talk to God instead of us. And I find this hard to comprehend, very, very hard to comprehend, because most people rather have someone else talk to God. I'd rather talk to God myself. I'd rather listen to God myself. I'd rather hear God's word for myself. Instead, they'd rather hire a pastor, hire a teacher, hire a preacher, and let God speak to them through that individual. That is the wrong way. God desires and wants to speak to each and every one of us. Every one of us. Not through a mediator. But there's only one mediator between God and man, that's Jesus Christ. He wants to speak to us directly, only if we listen. And by the way, not all pastors and preachers listen to God as well. I remember when I was in seminary, and we got together, and in the seminary I went to two seminaries. The first one I loved it, the second one was okay. And we gathered around in this second seminary. Many of us are pastors already. I was one of them, and we were already pastoring church. And one assignment, we had to gather around and read this book and discuss and try to understand what the Bible's saying, God's mind. And I remember gathering around, and in my group, there were a few pastors. Actually, we were all pastors there. And I was telling them, this is what the Bible says, you know, because there are different views. And the view that you're holding is a little bit wrong, but look at this. And I would always go back to the Bible. You know what one of this guy said? He's a pastor. This is what he told me. He says, "Well, you know, I see what you're saying, Lam. I see what you're saying in the Bible, but that's not what I was taught. I just want to believe what I was taught." Are you kidding me? You want to believe what you were taught? In other words, he wanted a mediator to tell him what to think instead of going to God directly. And he's a pastor. I'm shocked. Wouldn't you want to go to God directly yourself? We want someone else to speak to God on our behalf. We just don't want to talk to God ourselves. Because meditating, listening to God requires work. Let me give you the second reason why people don't want to listen to God, don't want to meditate. The second reason is that people are afraid. They are afraid. You see that in verse 18? The people were afraid and trembled, and so they stood far off from God. They were afraid. But afraid of what? What are they afraid of? Let me give you two reasons why they're afraid. Number one, they're afraid of judgment. You see that in verse 20 and 21? They are afraid of judgment. They are fearful that they could not face God without incurring the judgment of God on the way they live. They recognize that they are not where God wants them to be, and so they're afraid of God's judgment upon them. Verse 20 states, Moses told them, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." See, they were not ready to meet God because of what was in their heart. They were not fully dedicated to God. Because a few days after this event, while Moses went up to the mountain and listened to God, the children of Israel was at the foot of the mountain, at God's presence, playing the harlot. Just a few days later, after the deliverance of Egypt, hearing the God, seeing the thunder, they start playing the harlot. But for those who love God, for those who want to know God, we all can listen to God personally through meditation. We all can listen to God in our silence and solitude, hear God's voice. And the second reason why they were afraid is they were afraid of his word. They were afraid of his word. Isn't that interesting? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18 and 19, the author of Hebrews, recounting back the story, added a little insight into what happened here on Mount Sinai. It states in verse 18 of Hebrews chapter 12, "For you have not come to a mountain that can be touched, and to a blazing fire, and to the darkness and the gloom and the whirlwind, and the blast of the trumpet, and the sound of words, which sound was such that those who heard beg that no further word would be spoken to them, for they could not bear the command." They were there, the author of Hebrews say, hearing the word of God, and they cannot stand it. "I don't want to hear God's word anymore." They cannot bear the command of God. And so, verse 21 says, they were terrified. See, they could not bear it to hear the word of the spoken word of God. They didn't want to hear the commands of God. Once they heard the words of God, they realized that being in the presence of God is risky. Isn't that true? When you listen to God, you're in the presence of God, and being in the presence of God, it is a risky business. For being in the presence of God is not for the casual observer. Being in the presence of God is for the committed. It is a fearful thing. It is a fearful thing. Why? Well, that's the third reason. Number three, people are not obeying. People are not obeying. That's what it says in chapter 20, verse 21. "You speak, we will listen." You see, to be in the presence of God is to invite change. No one can be in the presence of God and not face a change. Isaiah was in the presence of God and he was changed. Moses was in the presence of God and he was changed. To encounter God's word is to invite a response to his word. Israel heard God's command and they did not want to hear any more of his command because they did not want to change. They want to continue to live their life. "So I don't want to hear God speaking. You speak, Moses, to God, and we will listen to you." That is what meditation is. Meditation is simply to contemplate God's word with the result of hearing God's voice and then obeying God's voice. That is it. Remember the commandment that God gave to Joshua? That if you want to be successful, and you want to prosper, then do not let this book of the law depart from you, but meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do all according to what is written in it. That was God's word to Joshua. Meditation prepares us to listen to God. And when we listen to God, it prepares us to be changed. And that's why some find it difficult to meditate. It requires work. If we don't, push, gradually, pulling us further and further away from God. So in review, there are three things that keep us from entering into meditation. One, we want a mediator, because we'd rather have someone else talk to us, talk to God, than for us to talk to God directly. It takes time, it takes energy, it takes effort to listen to God, and some rather not be bothered with it. Two, we are afraid. We're afraid of His judgment because we're not where God wants us to be. And two, we're afraid of His word because His words invite change. And sometimes we like our life too much to enter into His present and be changed by it. For we are held accountable for what we hear from God. And three, we just don't like to obey. We just don't like to obey. We are comfortable where we are. We're comfortable with the way we're living. We're comfortable with our lifestyle. We just don't want to change and to meditate, to listen to God. I have to change. But for those of us who desire to hear God, for those of us who desire to listen to God, it is a reward in and of itself. It requires us to meditate. It requires us to be silent and to listen. It requires us to know God, to have a relationship with God. I will conclude with these words from Richard Foster. In contemporary society, our adversary majors in three things: noise, hurry, and crowds. If he can keep us engaged in muchness and manyness, he will rest satisfied. Psychiatrist Carl Jung once remarked, "Hurry is not of the devil, it is the devil." So we need to meditate and listen to him. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much that you want to commune with us, that you are speaking to us and constantly speak to us. As we conclude this series of meditation, we pray, Lord God, that you will help us. Help us to take our time to meditate. To daily, Lord God, morning and evening, to open your word, to read your word, to pause on your word, to think about your word and reflect it upon our life. Give us the opportunity and discipline us so that we may listen to you, that we may hear your voice, be guided by your voice, and be led by your voice. Father, we do not want to play church, nor do we want to play Christianity. We truly want to be your children. And as such, Father, we want to commit ourselves to you. So guide us now, Father, and help us, and lead us, and speak to us. For your servant here listens. These things we pray and ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.